John chapter 5. After this, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the feast, and near to the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool with five porches that in Hebrew is called Bethesda. A large crowd of sick people lay in the porches, blind, lame, and paralyzed. And there was one man who'd been there for 38 years in his sick condition. And Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew the man had been there sick for a long time. So he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Well, of course he wanted to get well. But Jesus sometimes asks that question of people because he wants them to focus on what they really, really want, and then he gives it to them. And so that's how he's working with us in our lives. He's making us want more than anything else the kingdom, which is why things might go wrong for us, wherever we are, at school, at college, in our career, in our family life, in our relationships with people. Things often do go wrong, and there's no way to mend them. And it may not be our fault, but it goes wrong. And it's in order to make us long for the kingdom, so that what we wish above everything is to be in the kingdom. And so the sick man replies to Jesus, "Sir, I haven't got anyone here to put me down into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm trying to get in, someone else gets in first." So you see, the Jews believed that an angel came once a year and stirred up the water and then disappeared, and whoever got into the water first was healed. Now, this was obviously not true, but Jesus doesn't say to him, "Ah, no, that's not true." Instead, he doesn't try and criticize him. He focuses on the positive and says, "Believe. Believe in me, not in myths, and I can heal you." But even beyond that, because we're going to read here that despite having that misunderstanding, Jesus just cures this man whether or not he's got faith. Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And immediately the man got well. He picked up his mat and started walking. Now the day this happened was a Sabbath, so the Jews told the man who'd been healed, "This is the Sabbath. You are breaking our law if you carry your mat." He answered, "The man who made me whole told me to pick up my mat and to walk." They asked him, "And who is this man who told you to do that?" But the man who'd been healed didn't know who Jesus was, for there was a crowd in the place, and Jesus had slipped away. So you see that Jesus could do miracles on people, even if they didn't believe. That's where the Pentecostals are so wrong in saying, if you believe, you'll see a miracle. Because Jesus did miracles on people who did not believe. This isn't the only example. Afterwards, Jesus found the man in the temple and said, "Listen, you've been healed now, so stop sinning or something worse will happen to you." Then the man went out of the temple and told the Jewish authorities that it was Jesus who had healed him. So they began to persecute Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. So you see how no good deed goes unpunished. As soon as you do something good, then you're going to have certain types of people who will immediately be on your case, trying to make your life a misery. And you just have to look these guys in the face, like Jesus did. He said, "My Father is always working, and I too must work." Well, God doesn't stop working on the Sabbath. Otherwise, we'd all collapse and creation would just all disappear. This saying made the Jews all the more intent on killing Jesus. Not only had he broken the Sabbath law, but they considered that he'd said that God was his own Father. And in that way, they thought he was making himself equal with God. Well, as usual with people, there's bits of truth and bits of error in what they think. They say that he'd broken the Sabbath law. Well, he hadn't broken the Sabbath law. Not God's Sabbath law, he'd broken their Sabbath law. And that he'd said that God was his Father, yes, that's true, he had said that. And therefore he was making himself equal with God? No, he wasn't. Because to say that someone is your Father is not to say that you're equal to them. So Jesus replied to them, "I'm telling you the truth, the Son can do nothing of his own. He does only what he sees the Father doing." And in these verses now, we've got some of the clearest arguments against the idea that Jesus is God. The Son can do nothing of himself, but only what he sees the Father doing. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and he will show him even greater things than this, that you will marvel. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, in the same way the Son gives life to those he wants to. Nor does the Father himself judge any man. He has given his Son the full right to judge, so that all should honour the Son even as they honour the Father. Whoever does not honour the Son doesn't honour the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He will not be judged in the sense of being condemned, but has already passed from death to life. So we can be assured at this moment that if we are baptized into Christ and we are remaining in Christ and we have received the Holy Spirit, that we are living the kind of life that we will eternally live, then we are not going to be condemned. And this is the greatest good news, that we will not be condemned at the last day, that yes, we will come to the judgment, but because we are in Jesus, we will not be condemned. Now that is the greatest good news that's worth everything. That is the truth to live by. Truly, truly, I tell you, the time is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live, just as the Father himself is the source of life. In the same way, he has made the Son to be the source of life, and he's given the Son the right to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. So it's because Jesus had our nature that he is able to judge us. So we can't say, I just was in a bit of a bad mood, or, well, I was just a bit provoked by circumstances, so yeah, eventually I snapped. So, well, you see, can't you understand that? Well, no, Jesus had our nature, and he of all people can say, nope, even if you're provoked and provoked, you don't snap and sin, because I was of your nature and I didn't do that. But when we do things like that, we can then ask him to forgive us, because he truly is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. The time is coming when all the dead will hear his voice and come out of the graves, and those who have done good will rise and live, and those who have done evil will rise and be condemned. So this is what's going to happen at the last day, that Jesus will come back and there'll be a resurrection, and then after the resurrection there'll be the judgment, and it's there that we start living forever, and the wicked will go back and die the second death. So we don't go to heaven when we die to get our reward. When Jesus comes back, we are resurrected and judged, and then we're given the reward. Then we're given eternal life. It's not that one person dies, shoots off to heaven, gets their reward. Another person dies 10 years later, goes up there, gets their reward. This is not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. So we are waiting for Jesus to come back from heaven, and he has his reward with him at the day of judgment. Jesus goes on, I can do nothing of myself. I can only judge as the Father shows me. And that's why my judgment is right, because I'm not trying to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I testify for myself, what I say is not necessarily to be accepted as true, but there is one other who testifies for me. And I know that what he says about me is true. You sent your messengers to John the Baptist, and he spoke on behalf of the truth. It is not that I must have a man's witness. I say this only in order that you may be saved. John was like a burning and shining lamp, that is, a torch that's lit with a flame. And you were willing for a while to rejoice in his light, but I have witness which is far greater than the witness that John gave. And that is, the works that my Father gave me to do, these testify for me, and show that the Father has sent me. And the Father who did send me testifies also on my behalf. You've never seen his voice nor seen his shape, and you do not keep his message within your hearts, because you don't believe in the one whom he sent. You search the scriptures because in them you think that you have eternal life. But these are the very scriptures that testify about me, but you're not willing to come to me in order that you might have life. So you see, there's a difference between searching the scriptures every day and coming to Jesus personally that we might have life. I'm not looking for glory from men, but I know the sort of people whom you are, and I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. So you can search the scriptures all day, but not have a gram of true love for God in your hearts. And it is whether you love God that is important. That's what's so critically important. I've come in my Father's name, but you did not receive me. But if someone comes in his own name, him you will receive. You who wish to receive praise from each other cannot therefore get any glory from the one who alone is God. And therefore you cannot believe on me. Do not think that I accuse you to the Father. Moses, in whom you put your trust, is the one who accuses you. Because if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me. But since you don't believe what Moses wrote, how can you believe what I say? So they thought that Moses was wonderful, and they got to study the law of Moses all day long, but they didn't actually believe him.